all who believed were together. They had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Jesus poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful that when Jesus came to earth, he came not only to live and die and rise again on our behalf, but he showed us a new way of living. He showed us the way you want us to live. And so we pray that as we look at this story, Jesus washing his disciples' feet, as we catch a glimpse of how it shaped the early church in Acts chapter 2, we would continue the melody of Jesus' action and service in our lives and to the world. Help us to see and understand. This winter, our sermon series is titled Exercises for a Healthy Body. Exercises for a Healthy Body. And, you know, by body, I've been saying, we're not talking about physical bodies, right? We're talking about the church body, the communal body, us as a body of believers. And by exercises, we're not talking about physical exercises that we use to strengthen our bodies, our muscles, but we're talking about spiritual exercises that strengthen our relationship with Jesus, an exercise that strengthens our relationships. And if you think about it, this week we're focusing in on the exercise of service and action. Service and action, that's the exercise we're focusing on this week. Because a healthy relationship with Jesus, we've already talked about making time for him, listening to him through his word in the scriptures, praying, responding to him with our own words. That's a lot of face-to-face, and that's really important for a healthy relationship, but I don't want us to think that the only dimension of relationship with Jesus or anyone is face-to-face, because there's also the side-by-side. A healthy relationship also has a side-by-side aspect to it. It's not just talking to one another, it's also doing things with one another, which makes sense, right? Because for any relationship, what enlarges and deepens that relationship is doing things together. I'll apologize right now, I'm gonna get a little sappy, but one of the things that I love about being married to Kristen is not only that we hang out and pretty much talk about everything, you should just know that right now, okay? you tell me something, she's probably gonna know. But that we also do things together. We also do things together. We parent together. We serve in the church together. We love our neighbors together. And there are those moments, here's the sappy part, those sweet moments when, you know, we're busy doing something side by side. We're preparing something in the kitchen or whatever. And it occurs to me how joyful and satisfying it is that we have so much overlap in our lives, that we have an integrated life. Harmony of our hearts are being expressed in doing things together. When that thought occurs to me, I can't help but just like turn and look at her and smile. Here we are, right? Exactly, right? We're serving together. And a healthy relationship with Jesus works the same way. We need the face-to-face. We do. But we also need the side-by-side. We need all the other spiritual exercises that we've been talking about in the past few weeks, but we also need to do things with him. So, what is Jesus doing that we could do it with him? What action and service is Jesus engaged in that we can engage in alongside of him? The answer is in John chapter 13. Just as I have loved you, continuous love, I have loved, you are also to love one another. Loving one another is the action and service that we can do if we want to join Jesus side by side in doing what he's doing. But I mean, loving one another is really broad, right? So there's a lot more to say about this, and that's what today's sermon is going to be about. Today, we're going to look at John chapter 13, and we're going to explore what it means to love one another along these three lines. What it looks like to love one another, why loving one another blesses other people too, and how we can do this side by side with Jesus. So what it looks like, how it blesses others, and how we can do it side by side with Jesus. Let's start with what it looks like to love one another, just as Jesus has loved us. Verse 1, which I apologize, we don't have it printed in your bulletins, but I want to mention it because it provides a bit of background to our story today. This is what the verse says. When Jesus knew that his hour, the hour of his crucifixion, had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, meaning his disciples, he loved them to the end. In other words, what we're about to see happen in John chapter 13 needs to be understood as a display of Jesus' love. It's a display of Jesus' love. If you want to know what his love looks like, here it is. And what's more, this act of love is taking place at a critical moment in Jesus' life, right? Jesus knows that his hour is at hand. His hour of greatest suffering is at hand. The devil's been orchestrating this grand attack, getting Judas, his own disciple, to betray Jesus, with Jesus ending up on the cross. John chapter 13 happens while Jesus knows that great suffering is about to happen to him. So this is the background as we watch now what Jesus does to love his disciples. Verses 5 and 6. Jesus poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. And then he wiped them with a towel that was wrapped around him. When he came to Simon Peter, he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Why does Peter protest? Why do you think he reacts the way he does when his master comes before him and kneels in front of him with a basin and a towel? Because that's not how it's supposed to work, right? It's not the master who's supposed to serve the student or the disciple. It's supposed to be Peter washing Jesus' feet. What's more, washing feet is a totally humiliating act, right? I mean, you have to kneel before someone while you're washing their feet. And it's not like back then there was running water. Yeah, this is not like your feet, which are encased in shoes and socks, and I assume you groom them and take a shower or something, right? Like, we're talking about people who walked with sandals on the street of Jerusalem that is not paved but dusty, and there are animals, donkeys, camels, horses walking on the same streets, and they don't care where they use the restroom. So you can only imagine what is on the feet of these disciples as Jesus washes their feet, not with running water, but with a basin. And then on top of that, he's wiping these feet clean and dry with a towel that is wrapped around him, which means that all of that gunk that has been collecting on 12 disciples' feet is getting on him. Washing feet is a gross and unpleasant and definitely unpreferred thing to do for anyone, let alone a Lord, a master, a teacher, to do for his students, his disciples. But now look at verse 7. "What I am doing," Jesus says, "you don't understand now, but afterward you will understand." Though Jesus does take the role of the servant in this episode, he washes their feet, he still retains the role of the teacher. In fact, later in verse 15, Jesus says that, "I've given you an example for you that you should also do just as I've done to you." Jesus still is teaching, even as he's serving. And then it all comes together in verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, love one another," which isn't exactly new. It's been around since Leviticus. But what's new is the next part. "Just as I have loved you." We are to love as Jesus has loved us. This is what Jesus' love looks like. It's washing feet. It's nothing flashy. It's simple. It isn't necessarily pleasant or preferred. It doesn't wait until life is easy, but it happens even when life is hard. And it's even towards people who don't like him, because he washes Judas's feet too. So how about us? What would it look like for us to love like this? For us to wash feet like Jesus? How might Jesus be calling you to love others the way he has loved you? It was almost exactly 23 years ago, in the month of January, during my freshman year in college. And that year, I had a roommate who had a habit of coming back to our room in the middle of the night, totally inebriated. For those of you who don't know what that word is, ask your parents. And out of laziness or tiredness or whatever the reason, he would, instead of walking the short 10 yards to the hall bathroom, walk over to the sink in our room and urinate there. Now, I didn't like this, okay? I know that's surprising, but I didn't say anything about this for the first couple of nights that this happened. But then finally one night, he didn't quite make it to the sink. Just stumbled over to a corner in our room, pulled down his boxers, and let it rip. And me, aghast, finally said, midstream, "Why don't you go use the restroom?" Him turns around, gives me an evil eye, finishes doing his business. I just sigh, put my head back on my pillow, and go back to sleep. I'll deal with this tomorrow. Now, some of you know how the story goes, right? Tomorrow doesn't come. I wake up to find him standing over my bed, over me. And right when I realize what he's doing, he kind of mutters, "Don't touch that," and he pulls my covers back. Yes, that's right. My freshman year roommate had urinated on my covers with me under them. So what did I do, right? What would you do? In utter disgust at my roommate, I grab my sleeping bag, I put on my shoes, and I walk over in my PJs to Dave Park's room. Now, Dave Park was a sophomore in my Christian Fellowship small group. He lived just a few halls down. He was the friend that lived closest to me. So I walk over in the middle of the night, I don't know what time this is, knock on his door, and I walk in. And as I'm telling him what happened, I lift up my feet, and I wash them in his sink. And he's like, "Why are you doing that?" And I tell him, "Because I think I might have stepped into some of my roommate's pee as I put my moist feet onto his clean carpet." He didn't complain. He didn't protest. He just cleared off some space on his carpet as I unrolled my sleeping bag and went to bed. Now, I know that some of you are still stuck on what my roommate did to me, but that's actually not the point of the story. Okay? Pulling you out of that right now. My roommate doesn't get a name in the story, but Dave Park does. Dave Park gets a name in my story, because what he did, that's the point of the story. His providing refuge for me, his act of hospitality and welcome towards me. Now, my guess is he probably didn't prefer me putting my moist feet on his clean carpet, but he still made space for me in his room. And this was a simple, yet tangible expression of Jesus' command to love one another. Dave Park lived it out, what it looks like to love one another. So that's the first point, what it looks like. Now, second, why loving one another blesses other people too. And I bring this up because when Jesus commands us to love one another, he's not only thinking about how our actions impact each other, but also how our actions impact the people around us. We see this in verse 16, where Jesus describes his disciples as messengers and himself as the one who sends them. I'll read it to you. It's not printed in the bulletin. He says, "The messenger is not greater than the one who sent him." So if the disciples are messengers, then there must be a message, right? What is the message that Jesus wants his disciples to send? Washing feet. Which is not only an act of service and a display of love, it is also a message. It is teaching. It is something to display. And now we're ready to look at verse 35. Right after commanding his followers in verse 34 to love each other as he has loved them, he says in verse 35, this is how all people, not just you guys, but all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Again, Jesus' point is that the washing of feet is not simply an act of service, it is also a message to be shared. What this all means then is that missions, or being missional, it's not only something that we as a church pray for and support out there. It's something that we are together here. In other words, displays of love within our community, within us, City Line Church, are not simply for the sake of what we might do for one another. It's also what we do for the sake of everyone around us. Being a loving community is not only necessary for reaching in, it's also for reaching out. And let me tell you why this makes sense. One of the biggest problems that people have with Christianity is actually not with Jesus himself, right? A lot of people like Jesus. They like what he has to say, most of what he has to say. The problem is actually with us, with his followers. The problem's with you and me, right? Because we're hypocrites. We're legalists. We turn a blind eye to sin. We do all sorts of unloving and selfish things. It's the existence of these things among us, the community of believers, the body of Christ, that becomes a huge barrier to others who might even consider following Jesus. And that's just the honest truth. So it makes sense in all the world then that Jesus would want his followers to love one another. Stop being hypocrites. Stop being legalists. Stop being selfish, not only for your sake, but for the sake of others who are watching us. Some of you know that when I entered college, I was not a Christian. In fact, in high school, I made it a point to argue with Christians, point out their logical flaws, and in general make fun of them for what seemed to be the irrationality of faith. And that extended into college as well. My freshman year small group can tell you, a small group leader can tell you stories of how frustrating I was in Bible study. So as a side note, those of you in high school or college dealing with friends who are antagonizing you for your faith, be patient. Be patient with them. The only reason why they care so much is because they're really close. So what happened? What turned around? What turned me around that freshman year in college? Well, it was almost exactly 23 years ago, in the month of January, during my freshman year in college. That year I had a roommate who had a habit of coming back to our room in the middle of the night, totally inebriated. One night, he didn't quite make it to the sink. You know the rest of the story. How did I know that I could go to Dave Park's room? Because even though I was only 18, I still knew that it was inappropriate to just walk into somebody's room and sleep on their floor. But I knew I could go to Dave Park's room because I'd seen him show this kind of love to other people in so many ways in our small group, in our fellowship. And that night became a part of the story of how I became a Christian just a few weeks later, and it's because I had seen, and now I was experiencing myself, the loving community of God showing me what it looks like to be with Jesus. And I wanted to be a part of it. And me, a freshman who had been so antagonistic in Bible study, me with my peed-on feet, planting them still moist on his carpet. Dave was part of a bunch of Christians who reached out to me, loving me, even though they had no reason to like me. Loving me, even though at times it was unpleasant and unpreferred. And that was how I came to see the love of God. And that's why I say that we as a church are called by Jesus himself to love one another through acts of service, even when it's unpleasant, even when it's unpreferred, and even if there's no reason for you to like the other person. Because our loving service is not only for the sake of one another, it is for the sake of everyone else too. And that is why loving one another blesses other people too. That's the second point. Now finally, how to do it side by side with Jesus. And this is important to talk about because if we're honest, sometimes we slide into rule keeping, right? I mean, sometimes, if we're honest, we show kindness or we do nice things because we feel like we're supposed to or because it's the right thing to do. But then all of our service and action, when that happens, it's no longer helping us know Jesus. It no longer strengthens our relationship with him because he's not even in the picture. So how do we pursue the exercise of service and action with Jesus? How do we do it side by side with him? One answer is to think about everything we've already been talking about in the previous weeks, right? One way that we can continue to be with Jesus is in trusting obedience to God's call in his scriptures. Or when we pray over the things that we do, asking for wisdom or courage or compassion, practicing those other exercises that we talked about, scripture and prayer and making time, they can help us to know Jesus in the midst of our doing things with Jesus. But our text today also gives us an answer. And it's in verse 8. Peter said to Jesus, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." You have no share with me. It sounds pretty harsh, right? But I think it sounds harsh because it's meant to underscore how important what Jesus is saying here is. Peter, I'm about to give you a new commandment, a command to love one another, but you will be tempted to focus so much on what you're supposed to do that you'll forget the reason why you're doing it in the first place. So Peter, I have to do this thing for you. I have to get on my knees before you. I have to take off your sandals. I have to get all the gunk on your feet onto me. I have to do this shocking act of service so that it can be seared into your mind, this truth, that when you start washing other people's feet, and you start doing loving acts of service for them, you cannot forget me. You can't forget me. Because if you forget me, then it doesn't matter how much justice you pursue, how much mercy you do, you actually won't be keeping my command. Because what's the command? The command is not just to love one another, it is to love one another just as I have loved you. The emphasis is not on what you are supposed to do. The emphasis is on why you're doing it and with whom you're doing it. Which is why I say to you, Peter, even if harshly, that you have to let me wash you, because how can you keep my command to love others as I have loved you if you haven't loved me? Let me love you. How can you love others as I have loved you if you don't let me love you? What makes our actions and service spiritually healthy, what makes them exercises that strengthen our relationship with Jesus, is not the action or service themselves, but that we do them with Jesus. And what helps us to do them with Jesus is remembering how we've received Jesus doing them to us. How do we remember? How do we remember? We come to the table. Because here we remember and celebrate the greatest act of sacrificial love that Jesus has shown us. But this table isn't the only place. We'll come back to it. But it's not the only place we can remember. Because Jesus didn't just die. He also rose again. And he sent his Holy Spirit into the world and into our lives. Which means that Jesus continues today to actively love and serve us. He continues today to shower his grace upon us. The only question then is, do we see it? Do we remember it? This is what I remember. This is what I've seen. Dave Park opening up his room to me because my room had become a biohazard. Dave Park gave me a safe place to sleep because my room was no longer. And when Dave Park did these things for me, it became part of the story of how I came to know Jesus. In other words, Dave's hospitality and welcome was an expression of Jesus' love for me. That was 23 years ago. Now, flash forward to today. Some of you know that Kristen and I are preparing to open up our house to someone because their house has become a hazard. We're preparing to give them a safe place to sleep because their house is no longer. And we're preparing all this because we want our hospitality and welcome to be an expression of Jesus' love for them. It's all connected. It's been a long time since I've remembered what Dave Park did for me. But I'm glad I'm remembering it now. Thanks for letting me preach. Because for me and Kristen, in all of our activity to try to be a service these days, it can be tempting for us to focus so much on what we're supposed to do and get done to prepare ourselves that we forget the reason why we're doing it. Or worse, we forget who we're doing it with. But remembering Dave Park and how he joined Jesus in showing hospitality and welcome to me, it helps me to remember that Kristen and I are getting ready to do very much the same thing. We too are trying to join Jesus in showing his welcome and hospitality to someone else. The same Jesus who showed his love to his people by washing their feet back then is the same Jesus who is risen and alive right now, continuing to show his love to his people today by his Spirit. And when we obey his command to love as he loves, what we are doing is we are joining him in his continuing work. We are loving and serving others side by side with our Savior who loves us. And there, as we kneel down with Jesus before the dirty feet of others, and as we get our hands all gunky in our service to them, maybe we'll notice, if we have eyes of faith to see, Jesus, full of joy and satisfaction, at the harmony of our hearts expressed in our doing things together with him, Jesus pausing ever so briefly to turn and look at us and smile. Let's pray together. God, thank you for giving us this picture of your Son, for showing us how you want us to live, not like we're clocks that you wind up and send out into the world, but as people, as branches joined to the vine. And so, Jesus, help us to be with you, to be in you, and because we are empowered by you to bear fruit, to serve, and to act with your love towards one another and for the sake of the world, help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.